And good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning, as promised, by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those lawn and garden questions. And I know, as usual, Teresa, there will be many. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Denny. I am doing well. How are you this morning?
I am hanging in there, just trying to clear up the system here after being a little under the weather, whatever that used to mean.
Hope you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. We're making it there. But again, for those maybe new listeners to the show, we tend to get really busy because folks love to talk about lawns and gardens any time of the day, and we do this show 52 weeks a year, even in the dead of winter. So again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question you want to direct to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to call it in, great. If you want to text it in either way, one number for either, a phone call or text, 651-461-9226. Well, the hot weather continues, Teresa. We're going to be close to 90 degrees again today. And I have to say, my lawn does not look as good as it did maybe 2 months ago.
I think all of our plants are saying, oofta, it's just too hot out there for our lawns, for our gardens, for us. We're creatures of, we'd like it 75 to 80. We don't like these 90 degrees so well. So, yep, this is totally expected to have your lawn look a little stressed right now. Oh, we've gotten enough rain, but the heat is kind of hard on it. So if you can, you don't want to be fertilizing your lawn right now. Don't fertilize the plants that are really stressed. Just kind of help them through the hottest weather. And then when it cools down a bit, then we can look at fertilizing and overseeding and all that really important stuff that we do to our lawns the end of August into September. We've got a lot of work to do, so now's a good time to just sit back with your iced tea or beverage of choice and think about what do we want to do with our lawns. Do we need to thicken it up there? Do we need to aerate? Do we need to dethatch? What can we be doing? Do we need to put in a bee lawn? Things like that.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages that just came in as you and I were chatting. Here's one. Let's see how many folks we can help out now. We have half, texter says, of our cauliflower that produced a head and a half only produced leaves. They were all from the same pack and basically all in the same area of the garden. What can we do to get the other plants to produce?
You can make the weather be a little bit cooler. That will help them. It's just more of a cool weather plant. They don't like the hot weather. So this is the time to start thinking about putting in your cool weather season plants into the end of August and understand that those cool weather plants just don't produce that well during the heat. So cauliflower is more of a cool season crop.
Okay, very good. How do I know, texter says, when pears are ready to harvest?
Most of the pears are going to want to harvest when they seem too hard. They ripen off of the tree. So if you know the variety of pear, I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look under the fruit tree section, and that will give you some good information about the pears. But most pears here in Minnesota, you're not going to leave to ripen on the tree, so to speak. You pick them when they're you pick them earlier than you would think you would. You probably don't want to pick them yet, but you don't wait for them to get soft and ripe like a good pear from the grocery store. They're going to be hard when you pick them.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Is it too late to prune my rhododendrons?
Well, okay, so, you know, you can do anything you want in your garden at any time. There's no police out there that are going to come and give you a ticket or something. However, there's the best time to do things and not the best time to do things. If you need to prune your rhododendron for some reason, it's way too big, it's going to get hit by the snowblower, it's blocking an entrance, it's broken, you can go ahead and prune it. Understand that the flowers that we will see next spring are already on the plant. So when you're pruning those spring plants now, you are cutting off flowers. That's not the end of the world. It just means you won't have as many flowers next year.
Okay.
And I would get all your pruning done for all of your plants that you're going to prune, say, within this week. And then stop pruning, because you don't want to be pruning your plants too late to when they start to become dormant for winter. So you can do it. It just stresses the plants and has bad implications for the plants. So you need to get your pruning done now, so you don't be asking us in September, when can I prune these plants? Because we're going to say not now.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning, Teresa. Reed calling in from North Branch, I believe, this morning. Reed, good morning. You're on CCO. What can we do for you?
Hi. I think our texter and me had the same idea, but I was going to ask about when to harvest pears. Like, I knew you can't wait very long to ripen on a tree, but I have some now that are a little bit like soft when I touch them. They're not hard. Could I harvest those mm-hmm. now?
Reeve, I would prune. I would definitely harvest those now. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Good luck with your pears. Fresh pears off of a tree, or fresh peaches or apples—that's just delicious.
Sounds good today. Right now, in fact.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Why is, Texture says this, why is the maple tree losing leaves in July rather than September?
Your maple could possibly be very stressed. It depends on how old it is. It depends on whether it was stressed for the last two summers or three summers that we've had a drought. So what I want you first of all to do is look at your maple tree and look at how the tree is entering into the garden, entering into the soil. Does it look like a telephone pole, just straight? Or is there a root flare that you can see where the trunk seems to get a little bigger as it goes into the ground? Maple trees are very prone to girdling roots, and by going straight into the ground like a telephone pole, the roots underground can sometimes wrap back around the trunk of the tree and compress it and eventually kill the plant. But you will see dieback above, and you will see the loss of leaves. I would say also a lot of those leaves could be squirrels snipping off the branches. They're making the runways on the branches nice and clear for them. Some of the leaves just fall off naturally from the heavy winds that we've had. When we have these hard winds or hail, it can damage where the little leaves attach to the tree, and it can eventually just break and fall off. So there's a number of reasons why. If it's just a few leaves, it's not a problem. But if you're really worried, look at some of those things I've mentioned. Go to the extension website about trees. And also, if you're really worried and it's a big tree, bring in a certified arborist to look at your tree. They can look at it in sight and see immediately, hopefully, what's going on, if there is an issue, or if it's just nature and nothing to worry about.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a quick break. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is with us on CCO this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Going to be another warm day in the Twin Cities. We're going to head near 90 today. Right now we're at 70 with fair skies. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. By the way, we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour welcoming your lawn and garden questions. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa doing that very thing, answering those questions by phone and by text at 651-461-9226. Let's see. I want to look at this text, then we'll get back to the phones. Best time to divide peonies?
August,
just like that. Short and sweet. I like that. Let's grab a phone call. Diane, I believe, has been hanging on the line, calling in from Pine City here on CCO. Diane, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I have wild raspberries that have taken over the surrounding area of my deck and coming up through the woods. Is there a best way to get rid of those without harming surrounding grass or plants?
Diane, you just need to dig them out. That's the best way to do it. Raspberries like to spread, and that is what they normally do. But just dig them out where you do not want them. Put your shovel straight down into the soil, divide it from the mother plant, and pull out those roots. Raspberries are quite aggressive, so you're going to have a little fight on your hands, but good luck to you.
All right. After Diane's phone call, let's grab another one, and we'll get back to the text. John, I believe, is next up here on CCO. Thank you, John. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. I tend to my mother's gravesite. There's a geranium there, and a couple years ago, we were decimated by Japanese beetles. This year, I only saw one beetle. Are they eradicated now, or what's going on with Japanese beetles?
Oh, John, Japanese beetles are here to stay forever with us. Their populations will fluctuate a lot. This year, we're just not seeing that many so far. They'll just fluctuate. Eventually, they'll even out a little bit more. But it's just a nice year for not having Japanese beetles for a lot of people.
As a matter of fact, Teresa, I'm looking at the next text. Says this, Japanese beetles are destroying our garden. What can we do?
Oh, no. Okay, so if you do get Japanese beetles, what you want to do is be proactive. You're doing a lot of catch up now, but go out there. You can knock in the early mornings when it's still a little bit cooler. You can knock them into a bucket of soapy water. One person also suggested years ago, just take a gallon milk jug. Cut off the bottom of it, flip it upside down, so now you have like a funnel-looking thing, and then attach with a rubber band, attach a plastic bag to the mouth of it at the bottom, and you can just go out and knock Japanese beetles into this container. Their slippery plastic will allow all the beetles to fall into the plastic bag. Then you can just tie up the plastic bag and throw it away. So then you don't have to worry about buckets of soapy water. So either one works. What you want to do is when you know that you have Japanese beetle problems in the past, you need to be really proactive the next year. Go out and scout early in those plants where you normally see your Japanese beetles. And as soon as you start seeing them, start removing them as quickly as possible. As the Japanese beetle feeds on the plant, that emits a fragrance that attracts other Japanese beetles. It's kind of like if you start a barbecue, it's going to smell really good, and the neighbors might start peering over the fence and wanting to come over and visit you at that time. So you just don't want that smell to get out there from the Japanese beetles. So if you can be really proactive, that will really help a lot. You can also cover the plants if you have a special rose bush or raspberry bush or something like that. Cover it with a floating row cover or a plant protector, and that might protect the plant for a little while from the Japanese beetles till they go away.
A couple of lawn questions next, Teresa. First one is, my lawn is full of crabgrass. What should I do?
Keep mowing. Don't let the crabgrass go to seed. Crabgrass is an annual grass. It will die with the frost. Next year, you want to be proactive. This fall, you may want to overseed your lawn to thicken it up a lot so it outcompetes the crabgrass. It crowds it out. And then next spring in May, you may want to use a pre-emergent that will stop the crabgrass seeds that are already there from growing in your yard. Right now, you could put down a chemical, but and it's an annual weed. I wouldn't worry about it in that respect. I would just keep it well mowed so it doesn't go to seed.
Like you said, it's going to die off shortly.
It's
going to
die off in the frost because winter is coming, believe it or not.
Okay. Promise.
Promise.
Another question, lawn question. When's the best time to dethatch our yard, fall or spring? Now, that's kind of a question that we've dealt with before. I'm not sure dethatching is necessarily needed. I've always believed in aeration, but not necessarily dethatching. What do you think?
Well, when you mow your grass properly, you will not have a thatch problem. So if you are having a thatch problem, that means that you're mowing into the stem of the grass rather than the blade of the grass leaves or the blades. So you need to mow it when it's a little bit taller and only mow off the tips of the grass blades. Dethatching can be done in the fall. That's a good time for it, late summer, early fall. The Extension website, extension.umn.edu, has excellent lawn care calendars and lets you know when to do these things. But for the most part, most of us would probably be better off aerating than dethatching because it's not a thatch problem that we're running into.
Very good. Yeah, you mentioned that website. Just a great website, extension.umn.edu. Check it out. A couple of tree questions. One is a birch-type tree, and one is maple tree. Both are losing leaves in July. Do you think it's heat-related?
It could be heat-related. It could be wind and hail-related. Again, with the wind, the harsh winds we have can sometimes break the connections of the leaves. They still look connected, but they've lost a lot of the connection to the mother plant, so then they fall off. A lot of it can be squirrels just cleaning up the tree for us. It's natural to have some leaf fall in all year long or all season. That's natural. If you're seeing a lot, though, the tree is probably stressed. Look into the extension website to see if you can figure out what kind of stressors you might be seeing, if you're seeing an insect or disease or just some physiological thing, wind or drought or overwatering. We've had a lot of water. That could impact it, too, if your tree is in a low area and is suddenly getting overwatered too much from the rain. That could impact it. So look at the extension website. And when in total doubt, bring a certified arborist into your yard to look at the tree on site so that they can look at it and give you a really good result, a really good diagnosis.
Yeah, that's always a good idea. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to check out that forecast coming up in a couple of minutes or so. And then we have more show to come here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Teresa, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. I know our time goes by so quickly. Grab a phone call. Peter calling in from Worthington, Minnesota, I believe, this morning. Morning, Peter. What is your question?
I have a maple tree that does not turn color in the fall. I planted it about 20 years ago. It was labeled a celestial maple, and it said that it would turn a crimson red in the fall. I was looking forward to that, but the leaves just dry up and fall off, and it never really turns color. What's going on with that? Is there anything I can do to help it work better?
Peter, I'm sorry about that. It sounds like for some reason the tree, it could have been mislabeled at the garden center where you purchased it. It almost sounds more like a silver maple that does not get any color in the fall. So if it hasn't ever turned color for you, then what I would do is I would say, well, do I just want to leave it and just enjoy the tree without the color? Or do I want to replace it with one that will get color on it? I'm not familiar with that variety specifically, but it almost sounds more like it's a silver maple and it's grabbing from that side of its lineage rather than the sugar maple, the sweet red maples.
Okay. Listener says this, Teresa, via text. My question is, my bee balm has sickly white leaves or a fungus look. They get this... for the past 2 years, is it the soil, do you think?
It's not the soil. What you're seeing is powdery mildew. It's because of the hot, humid weather. There's not maybe a lot of air circulation around the plant. Some bee balms are more susceptible to it. Some are bred to be not as susceptible to it. You can look up powdery mildew on the extension website. You could be spraying a fungicide now. However, you will always be playing catch-up on it. So what you want to do next year is if you can increase air circulation, make sure that plant is drying out. You're not overhead watering it overnight so it stays wet all night. And then perhaps give it thin it out a little bit so it has more air circulation. And all of those things will help to reduce the powdery mildew that you see. And then you may want to start if you want to use a fungicide, you would need to use it before you actually start seeing the powdery mildew. It will be there, but you just won't see it yet, so you want to spray beforehand. But look up powdery mildew.
Powdery mildew. Mm-hmm. Texter says this, my grandson and I planted a pot of green beans on June 6th. We have tons of greenery. They have filled the trellis, but nothing that looks like a flower or bean starting. This is my first try at green beans, they say. Is it too early for them to get beans?
They probably will start getting beans. They should have already, but it's been so hot, especially out on a deck. It can be so hot that the flowers either never form, the flowers abort, or it's just too hot for the pollinators to get there for the flowers, and they don't pollinate. They don't like to work in the heat that much either. So what you can do is if you can move it to a little cooler location, with this cool weather, you may start seeing some flowers come. then hopefully you'll see the bees and you'll get some green beans. But I would guess it's the heat sitting out on a hot deck. It's just maybe a little too hot out there for it.
Grass seed question. Are all grass seeds created equally?
No. No. You want to purchase grass seed from a good garden center that has a good stock of fresh seeds. You want to look and make sure that you are purchasing the grass seed for the area that you'll be seeding it in. High traffic, salt tolerance, shade, sun. You want to buy the right seed mix. Talk to the very knowledgeable people at the garden centers where you are. And then look at the seed mix itself. It will tell you on the box or on the bag what percentage of seed is in there, whether it's an annual rye, which is just a placeholder and it's going to die in the fall, or whether it's a Kentucky bluegrass, an old variety, a new variety, if it has what other fescues it has in there. So you want to read the instructions. No, every grass seed is not created equal.
Kind of a related question. The grass on our shaded side of our house has mostly died out over the last 12 years. Is it possible to plant or seed new grass in a mostly shaded area? You kind of addressed a little bit of that with shade seed.
Yep. So look for seeds that are for shade. Those are going to be your fescues, F-E-S-C-U-E, fescue, like festival, only fescue. You want those. And understand that the grass is a full sun plant. That's where it wants to live, in the full sun. The more shade, the less hardy it will be, the more likely it is to die out. So in that case, if it's a really shady area, maybe consider putting in, letting the moss take over and have a moss garden, or putting in a beautiful woodland garden. The Arboretum has some great woodland gardens that you can wander through, and you can see the beauty of a woodland shade garden and just plant some shade perennials out there. That might be an easier task for you.
We've talked about this earlier in the show, Teresa. We're getting a bunch of texts about Japanese beetles and how to get rid of them, what kind of a product that will work, but not at a heavy cost to other pollinators. What would you suggest, again, to get rid of those Japanese beetles?
I would do hand picking is the best. Do not buy the traps. Do not use the traps. They will attract beetles from miles around to your house that would never appear there. So do not use the traps. And then use a physical barrier, the floating row covers, the polyspun row covers that you can put down over your plants. Otherwise, understand that Japanese beetles are here. They will look, the damage looks bad. Most plants will recover quite well. And bring in some birds if at all possible. Put in a bird bath, some moving water. Lots of the birds are starting to eat the Japanese beetles. Of course, they can only eat so many because they're just little birds. But bring in a lot of birds, and that will help balance your ecosystem a little bit.
All right. This listener, Teresa, said, I lost a couple of zucchini plants to root rot, and now I have an empty container. Is it too late to plant zucchini again, or is there some other cool weather plant I should consider?
That's a great idea. Plant zucchini again, making sure that it's not going to get the same situation, that you can minimize the water going in there if you have to. But also your cool season crops, some of your lettuces, peas. You could maybe even get some green beans still going. You might want to try some cabbage if it's a quick variety. Even some small carrots might work in there. A little bit later, you may want to try some radishes. So, yes, cool season crops, get those seeds going. Start looking at that to enjoy the fall and get some fresh veggies in there.
Okay. What's the best time in Minnesota to plant poppy seeds, listener says?
Poppy seeds are great in the fall. You can plant them in the fall just before the first snowstorm that's going to stay on the ground, and then they should come up in the spring for you. If you want to try winter sowing them in a container in January and February when you set the container outside, that can work. Understand they don't like their roots moved. They have a deeper taproot. So I would just then use those winter sown little plants. I would just take the whole plant out and put it in. I wouldn't try to divide it and damage the roots. But fall is usually the best time to plant those poppy seeds. Think about when poppies normally seed. The seeds then get really ripe toward late summer into the fall, and that's when they fall to the ground. That's the best time to plant them.
Okay. This listener wants to know, Teresa, can I still plant fruit trees?
You can plant fruit trees. The fall is an okay time to do that. Get them in, say, by the middle of September, if at all possible. I wouldn't be transplanting them, say, like today. It's just going to be too hot. It's too hot for you, too hot for the plants. Just wait till it's a little bit cooler. Get them in the ground before the middle of September, and just protect them from the rabbits. So put a nice hardware cloth tunnel around those trunks so that you can protect them from the rabbits and the deer.
Teresa, this listener is wondering what would cut hosta leaves and just leave them on the ground and not eat them. It's also doing it to flower stems.
That sounds like squirrels almost.
Oh.
Bunnies would probably eat the leaves. Deer would tear the leaves. Squirrels sometimes just like to chew things. Their teeth grow continually just like rabbits, and so they have to keep chewing things, and sometimes squirrels just like to bite into things and clean up the area a little bit because they want to run here, so they're kind of cleaning up that area so it's a little clearer for them. That would be my guess.
Okay. Sumac leaves are curling and have green lumps. What can be done?
What you're probably seeing are galls, G-A-L-L-S, and that is where an insect has come and laid some eggs. They've pierced into the leaf and laid an egg there, and it's just like an allergic reaction, kind of like a mosquito bite on the plant. The little insect will pupate in there, and then it will come out and go about its business. It's not going to hurt the plant at all. Sometimes when there's so many galls, the leaves do start to curl a little bit. But as long as the plant looks healthy from, say, 10, 15 feet away, and you can see still a lot of green, it's still photosynthesizing, it's fine. There's nothing to worry about.
Let's do one more quick text before we have a break. Happens, they say, a listener says, whether dry or wet conditions, what causes cucumber vines to wilt, get spots, and eventually die?
Cucumbers are susceptible to a lot of fungal diseases and viruses and things like that. The stems are pretty tender and can bust off with wind or with squirrels or chippies running around like little maniacs. There's just a lot of issues. I would definitely go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look into what's wrong with my plant.
Very good. Let's do this. Quick break is in order, then we'll come back and have the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions at 651-461-9226. Next hour, Andy Lindis will be back with us answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions, of course. This morning, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those particular questions at 651-461-9226. Of course, Teresa, we always like to recommend folks, if they have never been there, is get to the Arboretum.
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on at the Arboretum. The hydrangeas are blooming, so if you're thinking about a hydrangea, that's the place to go to see what they look like. Phloxes, lilies, black-eyed Susans, the compass plant is blooming. You can go out and see the compass plant. I'm sure the prairie is looking absolutely gorgeous, as is the grass garden on 3 Mile Drive. So, and there's mazes. There's so much to do at the Arboretum. The beekeepers will be harvesting honey. There's discovery booths. There's music in the garden. There's plant walks. There's so much going on. Go to the Arboretum. Take your camera. Take your friends. Bring your visitors. It's just an amazing place to go, even if you just want to connect with nature for a little bit. Remember, yeah, you do need to get your ticket, buy an advance ticket so you get your time slot. So just go to the Arboretum. It's amazing.
Yeah, check them out on the web.
There's so much going on.
University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Yeah.
Jenny, the Apple House opens on the 20th.
Oh, you're kidding. Is it that time of year already?
It's that time of year already, so yes.
Okay, I love the Apple House. Love the Apple House. Let's grab a phone call. Diane is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Thank you for waiting, Diane. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a big row of common purple lilacs
And last year, some of the leaves got brown and crispy, but this year, the entire row is brown and crispy. Should these be just cut out and taken away?
What we're seeing is Diane, sorry, you had to have that, and you waited so long. Thank you. We're seeing a lot of lilac leaf diseases this year and last year because of the humidity and the extra water. Go to the Extension website, and I believe that Wisconsin has some good information on it, too. For the most part, just clean the plants up as well as you can. Clean the leaves up. Maybe send them to the trash bin instead of the compost bin. Don't put them in your compost for sure. And then just treat the plant gently and see how it recovers next year. But we are seeing a lot of this lilac leaf disease, the bacterial leaf disease in the lilacs. The Extension website does have some information on that, extension.umn.edu.
Teresa, I know our lives would be incomplete without a Creeping Charlie question.
Oh, thank goodness.
Can I do anything, Texter says, this August or September to get rid of it for this year and next?
Treating Creeping Charlie once the weather cools down a little bit is very effective. If you can up until then, though, just keep pulling it out as much as possible. The manual removal really helps a lot. Thicken up the plants that are there if you can. And then there are some weed killers or herbicides that you can use in the later summer, early fall. Use them according to instructions and make sure that they are for Creeping Charlie and that you're reading and understanding the labels totally. Some of those move through the soil and they could impact other plants. So you want to read the instructions and understand. Go to your garden center. They will help you. And also the Extension website will give you some information.
Extension.umn.edu. A listener from Appleton, Wisconsin asks, how can I get rid of the rust fungus in my lawn?
The rust is out there because it's keeping the lawn is wet, whether it's from the humidity, the rain, or your sprinkler system. So if you can help that lawn dry out a little bit, that will help. You can put down fungicides or products like that before you start seeing the rust. I would go to the Extension website and look at the lawn calendar, and I'm sure Wisconsin also has a good website, but go to the extension.umn.edu, look under lawns, and then diseases in your lawn, and that will give you a really good idea. It just kind of dry it out a little bit, and you won't see that problem as much.
Listener wants to know, Teresa, what is the best time to trim the lower branches of my white birch tree?
I would do that in late winter, probably before the sap starts to rise. If you have to trim it now, I would be very careful. There are a lot of things like bronze birch borer and other diseases out there, fire blight and things like that, that can impact your birch tree. So I would try not to trim it when the insects are out or when it's a high humidity thing. If you have to, maybe wait until if there's one branch that's just in your way all the time and will be a hassle all winter. If you can do that as the tree starts to go dormant, do that one branch and then do a good pruning in the late winter before the sap rises.
Okay. You know, I wanted to alert our listeners, Teresa, that here it is the month of August already, mm-hmm. and management has persuaded me to make that first Saturday at the fair an appearance there at our WCCU Broadcast Center. And you know who's going to be with us that day on our Smart Garden Show? Julie and John Trappi.
Wow, that's a great trio. You guys are going to enjoy that so much.
Yeah, so if you have, especially not only with Julie answering any kind of a mm-hmm. question, lawn or garden question, John Trappi is going to be, he is our turf guru, the turf expert. So if you're heading to the fair, you don't have to, but you can always call in or text in as usual. But that's, to my knowledge right now, we'll be there the first Saturday at the fair. So there.
Stop by and pick their brains because those people know a lot of stuff and you can get a lot of information from them. Plus,
as my
you can
old
see
pa-
them in sight.
As my old pal Bill Deal would say, don't miss it if you can. When I walk in my lawn, Texter says, lots of tiny white insects fly up from the lawn. What does that indicate?
I'm not quite sure what they are. Maybe little moths or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I've seen over the years. Yeah,
there's going to be little webworms, web moths, and things like that out there. If you can, grab one or two and take a good look at them. You can even take a picture of them if you can, and you can send that to the Master Gardeners on the Extension site at the Ask a Master Gardener. And they can figure it out for you. Also, just go to the Extension website and go to the lawn problems, and you'll see insects in the lawn, and that will talk a lot about the insects that you might be seeing in your lawn. And if there's something to worry about, or if they're just not a problem.
About 3 minutes to go on the show, Teresa. Is cross-pollination between cantaloupe and watermelon possible?
I believe it is. However, if you are not saving the seeds, it's not a problem. If they cross-pollinate for the fruit you see this year, that will not impact that fruit. It's only the seeds. So if you're not going to save seeds, don't worry about it.
Okay. Can I trim my maple trees now?
You can trim your maple trees now if you have to. I would get it done sooner rather than later. You don't want to be pruning plants into, say, the middle and later of August, because they should be so-called thinking, and I put little air quotes around that, about becoming dormant. They're starting to become dormant, and they don't want to have to use that energy to then produce new growth because you've pruned them. So prune them now quickly. I've got some I have to prune too. I've got a ewe out there that needs a little management. So get those pruned as quickly as possible. Yes, you can prune your maples.
Less than 2 minutes to go. We have a couple of acres of lawn to seed that was previously weeds and prairie grasses out in the country. We want to leave some of it natural, but how do we prep the soil, and what's the best low-maintenance grass seed to plant that will give us a nice thick lawn for the kids to play on?
I would definitely go to the Extension website, Renovating Your Lawn. They have a step-by-step process, and just have some of those areas for the kids. Keep some of it natural. The natural stuff, you can pretty much leave that alone. Understand some of those seeds may blow into the lawn, but then if you mow your grass high in the lawn, that will prevent some of those seeds from taking effect, along with your kids running out there and playing and mowing. But I'd go to the Extension a website, Renovating Your Lawn.
Something is eating my rhubarb leaves. Large holes in the center of the leaves. I don't see any insects.
It could be beetles. It could be slugs in the evening. For the most part, it's not that big of a deal for your rhubarb if the plant looks fairly healthy. If you can figure out what's doing it, though, then you can figure out how to take care of it. But look for slugs. We're seeing a lot more slugs this year than we have in years past because rain.
Again, get to the Arboretum. You're going to love it. If you've never been there, you will be taking your friends and family, especially those that come to visit. They'll love it, and so will you. And what about that website? Give us again the U of M website.
Extension.umn.edu. It's a treasure of information.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, always a pleasure. Good to hear from you. Thanks for all the help you always bring to the show.
Good to hear from you. Have fun at the fair. Bye, everybody.
Oh, I will do that. It's coming up fast. Thanks, Teresa. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions for you this morning. Now, Andy Lindis, as usual, will be joining us next hour. Andy Lindis, of course, from Lindis Construction. He'll get those home improvement questions ready. We are heading toward 90 degrees in the Twin Cities right now on CCO, fair in 70s. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning, as promised, by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those lawn and garden questions. And I know, as usual, Teresa, there will be many. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Denny. I am doing well. How are you this morning?
I am hanging in there, just trying to clear up the system here after being a little under the weather, whatever that used to mean.
Hope you're feeling all better.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. We're making it there. But again, for those maybe new listeners to the show, we tend to get really busy because folks love to talk about lawns and gardens any time of the day, and we do this show 52 weeks a year, even in the dead of winter. So again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question you want to direct to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to call it in, great. If you want to text it in either way, one number for either, a phone call or text, 651-461-9226. Well, the hot weather continues, Teresa. We're going to be close to 90 degrees again today. And I have to say, my lawn does not look as good as it did maybe 2 months ago.
I think all of our plants are saying, oofta, it's just too hot out there for our lawns, for our gardens, for us. We're creatures of, we'd like it 75 to 80. We don't like these 90 degrees so well. So, yep, this is totally expected to have your lawn look a little stressed right now. Well, we've gotten enough rain, but the heat is kind of hard on it. So if you can, you don't want to be fertilizing your lawn right now. Don't fertilize the plants that are really stressed. Just kind of help them through the hottest weather. And then when it cools down a bit, then we can look at fertilizing and overseeding and all that really important stuff that we do to our lawns the end of August into September. We've got a lot of work to do. So now's a good time to just sit back with your iced tea or beverage of choice and think about what do we want to do with our lawns? Do we need to thicken it up there? Do we need to aerate? Do we need to dethatch? What can we be doing? Do we need to put in a bee lawn? Things like that.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages that just came in as you and I were chatting. Here's one. Let's see how many folks we can help out now. We have half, Texter says, of our cauliflower that produced a head and a half only produced leaves. They were all from the same pack and basically all in the same area of the garden. What can we do to get the other plants to produce?
You can make the weather be a little bit cooler. That will help them. It's just more of a cool weather plant. They don't like the hot weather. So this is the time to start thinking about putting in your cool weather season plants into the end of August and understand that those cool weather plants just don't produce that well during the heat. So cauliflower is more of a cool season crop.
Okay, very good. How do I know, Texter says, when pears are ready to harvest?
Most of the pears are going to want to harvest when they seem too hard. They ripen off of the tree. So if you know the variety of pear, I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look under the fruit tree section, and that will give you some good information about the pears. But most pears here in Minnesota, you're not going to leave to ripen on the tree, so to speak. You pick them when they're you pick them earlier than you would think you would. You probably don't want to pick them yet, but you don't wait for them to get soft and ripe like a good pear from the grocery store. They're going to be hard when you pick them.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Is it too late to prune my rhododendrons?
Well, okay, so, you know, you can do anything you want in your garden at any time. There's no police out there that are going to come and give you a ticket or something. However, there's the best time to do things and not the best time to do things. If you need to prune your rhododendron for some reason, it's way too big, it's going to get hit by the snowblower, it's blocking an entrance, it's broken, you can go ahead and prune it. Understand that the flowers that we will see next spring are already on the plant. So when you're pruning those spring plants now, you are cutting off flowers. That's not the end of the world. It just means you won't have as many flowers next year.
Okay.
And I would get all your pruning done for all of your plants that you're going to prune, say within this week, and then stop pruning because you don't want to be pruning your plants too late to when they start to become dormant for winter. So you can do it. It just stresses the plants and has bad implications for the plants. So you need to get your pruning done now so you don't be asking us in September, when can I prune these plants? Because we're going to say not now.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning, Teresa. Reed calling in from North Branch, I believe, this morning. Reed, good morning. You're on CCO. What can we do for you?
Hi. I think our texter and me had the same idea, but I was going to ask about when to harvest pears. Like, I knew you can't wait very long to ripen on a tree, but I have some now that are a little bit like soft when I touch them. They're not hard. Could I harvest those mm-hmm. now?
Reed, I would prune. I would definitely harvest those now, yes.
Okay, very good.
Good luck with your pears. Fresh pears off of a tree or fresh peaches or apples, that's just delicious.
Sounds good today, right now, in fact.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Why is the maple tree losing leaves in July rather than September?
Your maple could possibly be very stressed. It depends on how old it is. It depends on whether it was stressed for the last two summers or three summers that we've had a drought. So what I want you first of all to do is look at your maple tree and look at how the tree is entering into the garden, entering into the soil. Does it look like a telephone pole, just straight? Or is there a root flare that you can see where the trunk seems to get a little bigger as it goes into the ground? Maple trees are very prone to girdling roots, and by going straight into the ground like a telephone pole, the roots underground can sometimes wrap back around the trunk of the tree and compress it and eventually kill the plant. But you will see dieback above, and you will see tree the loss of leaves. I would say also a lot of those leaves could be squirrels snipping off the branches. They're making the runways on the branches nice and clear for them. Some of the leaves just fall off naturally from the heavy winds that we've had. When we have these hard winds or hail, it can damage where the little leaves attach to the tree, and it can eventually just break and fall off. So there's a number of reasons why. If it's just a few leaves, it's not a problem. But if you're really worried, look at some of those things I've mentioned. Go to the extension website about trees. And also, if you're really worried and it's a big tree, bring in a certified arborist to look at your tree. They can look at it in sight and see immediately, hopefully, what's going on if there is an issue or if it's just nature and nothing to worry about.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a quick break. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is with us on CCO this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Going to be another warm day in the Twin Cities. We're going to head near 90 today. Right now we're at 70 with fair skies. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. By the way, we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour welcoming your lawn and garden questions. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa doing that very thing, answering those questions by phone and by text at 651-461-9226. Let's see. I want to look at this text, then we'll get back to the phones. Best time to divide peonies?
August,
just like that. Short and sweet. I like that. Let's grab a phone call. Diane, I believe, has been hanging on the line, calling in from Pine City here on CCO. Diane, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I have wild raspberries that have taken over the surrounding area of my deck and coming up through the woods. Is there a best way to get rid of those without harming surrounding grass or plants?
Diane, you just need to dig them out. That's the best way to do it. Raspberries like to spread, and that is what they normally do. But just dig them out where you do not want them. Put your shovel straight down into the soil, divide it from the mother plant, and pull out those roots. Raspberries are quite aggressive, so you're going to have a little fight on your hands, but good luck to you.
All right. After Diane's phone call, let's grab another one, and we'll get back to the text. John, I believe, is next up here on CCO. Thank you, John. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. I tend to my mother's gravesite. There's a geranium there, and a couple years ago, we were decimated by Japanese beetles. This year, I only saw one beetle. Are they eradicated now, or what's going on with Japanese beetles?
Oh, John, Japanese beetles are here to stay forever with us. Their populations will fluctuate a lot. This year, we're just not seeing that many so far. They'll just fluctuate. Eventually, they'll even out a little bit more. But it's just a nice year for not having Japanese beetles for a lot of people.
As a matter of fact, Teresa, I'm looking at the next text. Says this, Japanese beetles are destroying our garden. What can we do?
Oh, no. Okay, so if you do get Japanese beetles, what you want to do is be proactive. You're being doing a lot of catch up now, but go out there. You can knock in the early mornings when it's still a little bit cooler. You can knock them into a bucket of soapy water. One person also suggested years ago, just take a gallon milk jug. Cut off the bottom of it, flip it upside down, so now you have like a funnel-looking thing, and then attach with a rubber band, attach a plastic bag to the mouth of it at the bottom, and you can just go out and knock Japanese beetles into this container. Their slippery plastic will allow it to all the beetles to fall into the plastic bag. Then you can just tie up the plastic bag and throw it away, so then you don't have to worry about buckets of soapy water. So either one works. What you want to do is, when you know that you have Japanese beetle problems in the past, you need to be really proactive the next year. Go out and scout early for those in those plants where you normally see your Japanese beetles. And as soon as you start seeing them, start removing them as quickly as possible. As the Japanese beetle feeds on the plant, that emits a fragrance that attracts other Japanese beetles. It's kind of like if you start a barbecue, it's going to smell really good, and the neighbors might start peering over the fence and wanting to come over and visit you at that time. So you just don't want that smell to get out there from the Japanese beetles. So if you can be really proactive, that will really help a lot. You can also cover the plants if you have a special rose bush or raspberry bush or something like that. Cover it with a floating row cover or a plant protector, and that might protect the plant for a little while from the Japanese beetles till they go away.
A couple of lawn questions next, Teresa. First one is, my lawn is full of crabgrass. What should I do?
Keep mowing. Don't let the crabgrass go to seed. Crabgrass is an annual grass. It will die with the frost. Next year, you want to be proactive. This fall, you may want to overseed your lawn to thicken it up a lot so it outcompetes the crabgrass, it crowds it out. And then next spring in May, you may want to use a pre-emergent that will stop the crabgrass seeds that are already there from growing in your yard. Right now, you could put down a chemical, but it's an annual weed. I wouldn't worry about it in that respect. I would just keep it well mowed so it doesn't go to seed.
Like you said, it's going to die off shortly.
It's
going to
die off in the frost because winter is coming, believe it or not.
Okay. Promise.
Promise.
Another question, lawn question. When's the best time to dethatch our yard, fall or spring? Now, that's kind of a question that we've dealt with before. I'm not sure dethatching is necessarily needed. I've always believed in aeration, but not necessarily dethatching. What do you think?
Well, when you mow your grass properly, you will not have a thatch problem. So if you are having a thatch problem, that means that you're mowing into the stem of the grass rather than the blade of the grass leaves or the blades. So you need to mow it when it's a little bit taller and only mow off the tips of the grass blades. Dethatching can be done in the fall. That's a good time for it, late summer, early fall. The Extension website, extension.umn.edu, has excellent lawn care calendars and lets you know when to do these things. But for the most part, most of us would probably be better off aerating than dethatching because it's not a thatch problem that we're running into.
Very good. Yeah, you mentioned that website. Just a great website, extension.umn.edu. Check it out. A couple of tree questions. One is a birch-type tree, and one is maple tree. Both are losing leaves in July. Do you think it's heat-related?
It could be heat-related. It could be wind and hail-related. Again, with the wind, the harsh winds we have can sometimes break the connections of the leaves. They still look connected, but they've lost a lot of the connection to the mother plant, so then they fall off. A lot of it can be squirrels just cleaning up the tree for us. It's natural to have some leaf fall in all year long or all season. That's natural. If you're seeing a lot, though, the tree is probably stressed. Look into the Extension website to see if you can figure out what kind of stressors you might be seeing, if you're seeing an insect or disease or just some physiological thing, wind or drought or overwatering. We've had a lot of water. That could impact it, too, if your tree is in a low area and is suddenly getting overwatered too much from the rain. That could impact it. So look at the Extension website. And when in total doubt, bring a certified arborist into your yard to look at the tree on site so that they can look at it and give you a really good result, a really good diagnosis.
Yeah, that's always a good idea. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to check out that forecast coming up in a couple of minutes or so, and then we have more show to come here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Teresa, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see just how many folks we can help out here. I know our time goes by so quickly. Grab a phone call. Peter, calling in from Worthington, Minnesota, I believe, this morning. Morning, Peter. What is your question?
I have a maple tree that does not turn color in the fall. I planted it about 20 years ago. It was labeled a celestial maple, and it said that it would turn a crimson red in the fall. I was looking forward to that, but the leaves just dry up and fall off, and it never really turns color. What's going on with that? Is there anything I can do to help it work better?
Peter, I'm sorry about that. It sounds like, for some reason, the tree, it could have been mislabeled at the garden center where you purchased it. It almost sounds more like a silver maple that does not get any color in the fall. So if it hasn't ever turned color for you, then what I would do is I would say, well, do I just want to leave it and just enjoy the tree without the color? Or do I want to replace it with one that will get color on it? I'm not familiar with that variety specifically, but it almost sounds more like it's a silver maple and it's grabbing from that side of its lineage rather than the sugar maple, the sweet red maples.
Okay. Listener says this, Teresa, via text. My question is, my bee balm has sickly white leaves or a fungus look. They get this for the past 2 years. Is it the soil, do you think?
It's not the soil. What you're seeing is powdery mildew. It's because of the hot, humid weather. There's not maybe a lot of air circulation around the plant. Some bee balms are more susceptible to it. Some are bred to be not as susceptible to it. You can look up powdery mildew on the extension website. You could be spraying a fungicide now. However, you will always be playing catch up on it. So what you want to do next year is, if you can increase air circulation, make sure that plant is drying out. You're not overhead watering it overnight so it stays wet all night. And then perhaps give it thin it out a little bit so it has more air circulation. And all of those things will help to reduce the powdery mildew that you see. And then you may want to start if you want to use a fungicide, you would need to use it before you actually start seeing the powdery mildew. It will be there, but you just won't see it yet. So you want to spray beforehand. But look up powdery mildew.
Powdery mildew. Mm-hmm. Texter says this, my grandson and I planted a pot of green beans on June 6th. We've tons of greenery. They have filled the trellis, but nothing that looks like a flower or bean starting. This is my first try at green beans, they say. Is it too early for them to get beans?
They probably will start getting beans. They should have already, but it's been so hot, especially out on a deck. It can be so hot that the flowers either never form, the flowers abort, or it's just too hot for the pollinators to get there for the flowers, and they don't pollinate. They don't like to work in the heat that much either. So what you can do is, if you can move it to a little cooler location, with this cool weather, you may start seeing some flowers come. Then hopefully you'll see the bees and you'll get some green beans. But I would guess it's the heat sitting out on a hot deck. It's just maybe a little too hot out there for it.
Grass seed question. Are all grass seeds created equally?
No. No. There, you want to purchase grass seed from a good garden center that has a good stock of fresh seeds. You want to look and make sure that you are purchasing the grass seed for the area that you'll be seeding it in. High traffic, salt tolerance, shade, sun. You want to buy the right seed mix. Talk to the very knowledgeable people at the garden centers where you are. And then look at the seed mix itself. It will tell you on the box or on the bag what percentage of seed is in there, whether it's an annual rye, which is just a placeholder and it's going to die in the fall, or whether it's a Kentucky bluegrass, an old variety, a new variety, if it has what other fescues it has in there. So you want to read the instructions. No, every grass seed is not created equal.
kind of a related question. The grass on our shaded side of our house has mostly died out over the last 12 years. Is it possible to plant or seed new grass in a mostly shaded area? You kind of addressed a little bit of that with the dense shade seed.
Yep. So look for seeds that are for shade. Those are going to be your fescues, F-E-S-C-U-E, fescue, like festival, only fescue. You want those. And understand that the grass is a full sun plant. That's where it wants to live, in the full sun. The more shade, the less hardy it will be, the more likely it is to die out. So in that case, if it's a really shady area, maybe consider putting in, letting the moss take over and have a moss garden, or putting in a beautiful woodland garden. The Arboretum has some great woodland gardens that you can wander through, and you can see the beauty of a woodland shade garden and just plant some shade perennials out there. That might be an easier task for you.
We've talked about this earlier in the show, Teresa. We're getting a bunch of texts about Japanese beetles and how to get rid of them, what kind of a product that will work, but not at a heavy cost to other pollinators. What would you suggest, again, to get rid of those Japanese beetles?
I would do hand picking is the best. Do not buy the traps. Do not use the traps. They will attract beetles from miles around to your house that would never appear there. So do not use the traps. And then use a physical barrier, the floating row covers, the polyspun row covers that you can put down over your plants. Otherwise, understand that Japanese beetles are here. They will look, the damage looks bad. Most plants will recover quite well. And bring in some birds if at all possible. Put in a bird bath, some moving water. Lots of the birds are starting to eat the Japanese beetles. Of course, they can only eat so many because they're just little birds. But bring in a lot of birds, and that will help balance your ecosystem a little bit.
All right. This listener, Teresa, said, I lost a couple of zucchini plants to root rot, and now I have an empty container. Is it too late to plant zucchini again, or is there some other cool weather plant I should consider?
That's a great idea. Plant zucchini again, making sure that it's not going to get the same situation, that you can minimize the water going in there if you have to. But also your cool season crops, some of your lettuces, peas. You could maybe even get some green beans still going. You might want to try some cabbage if it's a quick variety. Even some small carrots might work in there. A little bit later, you may want to try some radishes. So, yes, cool season crops, get those seeds going. Start looking at that to enjoy the fall and get some fresh veggies in there.
Okay. What's the best time in Minnesota to plant poppy seeds, listener says?
Poppy seeds are great in the fall. You can plant them in the fall just before the first snowstorm that's going to stay on the ground, and then they should come up in the spring for you. If you want to try winter sowing them in a container in January and February when you set the container outside, that can work. Understand they don't like their roots moved. They have a deeper taproot. So I would just then use those winter sown little plants. I would just take the whole plant out and put it in. I wouldn't try to divide it and damage the roots. But fall is usually the best time to plant those poppy seeds. Think about when poppies normally seed. The seeds then get really ripe toward late summer into the fall, and that's when they fall to the ground. That's the best time to plant them.
Okay. This listener wants to know, Teresa, can I still plant fruit trees?
You can plant fruit trees. The fall is an okay time to do that. Get them in, say, by the middle of September, if at all possible. I wouldn't be transplanting them, say, like today. It's just going to be too hot. It's too hot for you, too hot for the plants. Just wait till it's a little bit cooler. Get them in the ground before the middle of September, and just protect them from the rabbits. So put a nice hardware cloth tunnel around those trunks so that you can protect them from the rabbits and the deer.
Teresa, this listener is wondering what would cut hosta leaves and just leave them on the ground and not eat them. It's also doing it to flower stems.
That sounds like squirrels almost.
Oh.
Bunnies would probably eat the leaves. Deer would tear the leaves. Squirrels sometimes just like to chew things. Their teeth grow continually just like rabbits, and so they have to keep chewing things, and sometimes squirrels just like to bite into things and clean up the area a little bit because they want to run here. So they're kind of cleaning up that area so it's a little clearer for them. That would be my guess.
Okay. Sumac leaves are curling and have green lumps. What can be done?
What you're probably seeing are galls, G-A-L-L-S, and that is where an insect has come and laid some eggs. They've pierced into the leaf and laid an egg there, and it's just like an allergic reaction, kind of like a mosquito bite on the plant. The little insect will pupate in there, and then it will come out and go about its business. It's not going to hurt the plant at all. Sometimes when there's so many galls, the leaves do start to curl a little bit. But as long as the plant looks healthy from, say, 10, 15 feet away, and you can see still a lot of green, it's still photosynthesizing, it's fine. There's nothing to worry about.
Let's do one more quick text before we have a break. Happens, they say, a listener says, whether dry or wet conditions, what causes cucumber vines to wilt, get spots, and eventually die?
Cucumbers are susceptible to a lot of fungal diseases and viruses and things like that. The stems are pretty tender and can bust off with wind or with squirrels or chippies running around like little maniacs. There's just a lot of issues. I would definitely go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look into what's wrong with my plant.
Very good. Let's do this. Quick break is in order. We'll come back and have the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions at 651-461-9226. Next hour, Andy Lindis will be back with us answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions, of course. This morning, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those particular questions at 651-461-9226. Of course, Teresa, we always like to recommend folks, if they have never been there, is get to the Arboretum.
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on at the Arboretum. The hydrangeas are blooming, so if you're thinking about a hydrangea, that's the place to go to see what they look like. Phloxes, lilies, black-eyed Susans, the compass plant is blooming. You can go out and see the compass plant. I'm sure the prairie is looking absolutely gorgeous, as is the grass garden on 3 Mile Drive. So, and there's mazes. There's so much to do at the Arboretum. The beekeepers will be harvesting honey. There's discovery booths. There's music in the garden. There's plant walks. There's so much going on. Go to the Arboretum. Take your camera. Take your friends. Bring your visitors. It's just an amazing place to go, even if you just want to connect with nature for a little bit. Remember, yeah, you do need to get your ticket, buy an advance ticket so you get your time slot. So just go to the Arboretum. It's amazing.
Yeah, check them out on the web.
There's so much going on.
University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Yeah.
Jenny, the Apple House opens on the 20th.
Oh, you're kidding. Is it that time of year already?
It's that time of year already, so yes.
Okay, I love the Apple House. Love the Apple House. Let's grab a phone call. Diane is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Thank you for waiting, Diane. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a big row of common purple lilacs. And last year, some of the leaves got brown and crispy, but this year, the entire row is brown and crispy. Should these be just cut out and taken away?
What we're seeing is Diane, sorry you had to have that, and you waited so long. Thank you. We're seeing a lot of lilac leaf diseases this year and last year because of the humidity and the extra water. Go to the Extension website. And I believe that Wisconsin has some good information on it, too. For the most part, just clean the plants up as well as you can. Clean the leaves up. Maybe send them to the trash bin instead of the compost bin. Don't put them in your compost for sure. And then just treat the plant gently and see how it recovers next year. But we are seeing a lot of this lilac leaf disease, the bacterial leaf disease in the lilacs. The Extension website does have some information on that, extension.umn.edu.
Teresa, I know our lives would be incomplete without a Creeping Charlie question.
Oh, thank goodness.
Can I do anything, Texter says, this August or September to get rid of it for this year and next?
treating Creeping Charlie once the weather cools down a little bit is very effective. If you can up until then, though, just keep pulling it out as much as possible. The manual removal really helps a lot. Thicken up the plants that are there if you can. And then there are some weed killers or herbicides that you can use in the later summer, early fall. Use them according to instructions and make sure that they are for Creeping Charlie and that you're reading and understanding the labels totally. Some of those move through the soil and they could impact other plants. So you want to read the instructions and understand. Go to your garden center. They will help you. And also the Extension website will give you some information.
extension.umn.edu. A listener from Appleton, Wisconsin asks, how can I get rid of the rust fungus in my lawn?
The rust is out there because it's keeping the lawn is wet, whether it's from the humidity, the rain, or your sprinkler system. So if you can help that lawn dry out a little bit, that will help. You can put down fungicides or products like that. Before you start seeing the rust, I would go to the Extension website and look at the lawn calendar. And I'm sure Wisconsin also has a good website. But go to the extension.umn.edu, look under lawns, and then diseases in your lawn, and that will give you a really good idea. It just kind of dry it out a little bit, and you won't see that problem as much.
Listener wants to know, Teresa, what is the best time to trim the lower branches of my white birch tree?
I would do that in late winter, probably before the sap starts to rise. If you have to trim it now, I would be very careful. There are a lot of things like bronze birch borer and other diseases out there, fire blight and things like that, that can impact your birch tree. So I would try not to trim it when the insects are out or when it's a high humidity thing. If you have to, maybe wait until if there's one branch that's just in your way all the time and will be a hassle all winter. If you can do that as the tree starts to go dormant, do that one branch and then do a good pruning in the late winter before the sap rises.
Okay. You know, I wanted to alert our listeners, Teresa, that here it is the month of August already, and management has persuaded me to make that first Saturday at the fair an appearance there at our WCCU Broadcast Center. And you know who's going to be with us that day on our Smart Garden Show? Julie and John Trappi.
Wow, that's a great trio. You guys are going to enjoy that so much.
Yeah, so if you have, especially not only with Julie answering any kind of a question, lawn or garden question, John Trappi is going to be, he is our turf guru, the turf expert. So if you're heading to the fair, you don't have to, but you can always call in or text in as usual. But that's, to my knowledge right now, we'll be there the first Saturday at the fair. So there.
Stop by and pick their brains because those people know a lot of stuff and you can get a lot of information from them. Plus,
as my
you can
old
see them in sight.
As my old pal Bill Deal would say, don't miss it if you can. When I walk in my lawn, Texter says, lots of tiny white insects fly up from the lawn. What does that indicate?
I'm not quite sure what they are. Maybe little moths or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I've seen over the years. Yeah,
There's going to be little webworms, web moths, and things like that out there. If you can, grab one or two and take a good look at them. You can even take a picture of them if you can, and you can send that to the Master Gardeners on the Extension website at the Ask a Master Gardener. And they can figure it out for you. Also, just go to the Extension website and go to the lawn problems, and you'll see insects in the lawn, and that will talk a lot about the insects that you might be seeing in your lawn. And if there's something to worry about or if they're just not a problem.
About 3 minutes to go in the show, Teresa. Is cross-pollination between cantaloupe and watermelon possible?
I believe it is. However, if you are not saving the seeds, it's not a problem. If they cross-pollinate for the fruit you see this year, that will not impact that fruit. It's only the seeds. So if you're not going to save seeds, don't worry about it.
Okay. Can I trim my maple trees now?
You can trim your maple trees now if you have to. I would get it done sooner rather than later. You don't want to be pruning plants into, say, the middle and later of August, because they should be so-called thinking, and I put little air quotes around that, about becoming dormant. They're starting to become dormant, and they don't want to have to use that energy to then produce new growth because you've pruned them. So prune them now quickly. I've got some I have to prune too. I've got a ewe out there that needs a little management. So get those pruned as quickly as possible. Yes, you can prune your maples.
Less than 2 minutes to go. We have a couple of acres of lawn to seed that was previously weeds and prairie grasses out in the country. We want to leave some of it natural, but how do we prep the soil, and what's the best low-maintenance grass seed to plant that will give us a nice thick lawn for the kids to play on?
I would definitely go to the Extension website, Renovating Your Lawn. They have a step-by-step process, and just have some of those areas for the kids. Keep some of it natural. The natural stuff, you can pretty much leave that alone. Understand some of those seeds may blow into the lawn, but then if you mow your grass high in the lawn, that will prevent some of those seeds from taking effect, along with your kids running out there and playing and mowing. But I'd go to the Extension website, Renovating Your Lawn.
Something is eating my rhubarb leaves. Large holes in the center of the leaves. I don't see any insects.
It could be beetles. It could be slugs in the evening. For the most part, it's not that big of a deal for your rhubarb if the plant looks fairly healthy. If you can figure out what's doing it, though, then you can figure out how to take care of it. But look for slugs. We're seeing a lot more slugs this year than we have in years past because rain.
Again, get to the Arboretum. You're going to love it. If you've never been there, you will be taking your friends and family, especially those that come to visit. They'll love it, and so will you. And what about that website? Give us again the U of M website.
Extension.umn.edu. It's a treasure of information.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, always a pleasure. Good to hear from you. Thanks for all the help you always bring to the show.
Good to hear from you. Have fun at the fair. Bye, everybody.
Oh, I will do that. It's coming up fast. Thanks, Teresa. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions for you this morning. Now, Andy Lindis, as usual, will be joining us next hour. Andy Lindis, of course, from Lindis Construction, will get those home improvement questions ready. We are heading toward 90 degrees in the Twin Cities right now on CCO, fair and 70s. Stay with us.